And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I saw the look on your face.
Did you?
I did. You turned off my mic.
I turned off your mic. I did. Muted. I just wanted to play a joke on you.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty on tap for you. Don't forget, top of the hour here, 3 p.m., former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We served together in the legislature. He's a great guy down in the Montgomery area. Is going to be on with us talking about school choice. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I will tell you that we are going to start moving forward on that topic ourselves because Alabama is woefully behind. Woefully behind. I'm sorry. Do we have a Republican supermajority in Alabama? The answer would be yes, we do. A Republican supermajority. What does that mean? Well, so in the legislative process, you know, typically majority vote is required. Sometimes you're required to have a two-thirds vote, depending upon what the issue is, like if it's a constitutional amendment or something like that. But when you've got a certain number of people, you know that you can get things done whether the other side wants to help or not. You have what's known as a supermajority at that point. You have not only the ability to pass simple majority votes, but you can also, by the way, break debate with cloture. You can get the two-thirds majority you need on certain things. I mean, in Alabama, we've got a supermajority in the House and the Senate. Unbreakable, unless we choose to be broken. Anything they want to do, they could do, unless they choose not to do it. That's where we've been with school choice. So I'll just rehash some things you've heard me say before, but in 2013, I believe it was, when I was a part of the Republican wave in the 2010 election, we came in and took the first Republican supermajority. Actually, it was the first Republican majority, period, in 136 straight years. Democrats had controlled the Alabama legislature for 136 straight years, and we flipped it in one night. Once that happened, we began doing things that had never been done. The first thing we had to do is we had to diminish the influence of the teachers' union, and we did, man. We went in there, and I'm talking about with a dull butter knife, we emasculated the teachers' union and just went at it, and it's what it took. Because then, after a couple of years, what we were able to do was, for the very first time, we broke into the area of school choice that Alabama had never had. We passed a thing called the Alabama Accountability Act, and I've never understood why we named it what we did, but the reality is it provides an opportunity if you are in what is labeled a failing school, which this year, in a touchy-feely move to make people feel better about being failing schools, they gave it a different name. Now it's called distressed or something. I forget what. I'm sure there's a participation trophy in there somewhere. It's what Boomer was thinking. I can see your face. But the reality is this: we instituted something that gave the opportunity for kids who were confined by their zip code to a failing school to go do something else. Parents could say, you know what, my kid deserves better than what you're providing, and I want them to go down the road there to another school, or even a private school. And they have to apply, though. It's a little bit cumbersome. It's all we could get. It's a little bit cumbersome. It's a scholarshiping process. And so we, as a state, set aside funds that can be used as tax credits to people who want to donate to an SGO, a scholarship-granting organization. And so these SGOs stood up. There were two or three that came about automatically. Some came from other states where they've already been operating. And they began to administer these immediate opportunities. So the way it works is this: you've got a kid in a failing school. You apply to, and I'll just call it the ABC SGO organization. You apply and say, I would like my son to move here. They're in this school. Here's why, and here's what it will cost. And the SGO's panel then reviews that and gives out scholarships. The scholarships came from people giving donations to the SGO. They're a 501c3. But the tax credit for doing that came out of the money we set aside in the legislature. And so we call that the Accountability Act Fund. And that fund has a cap on it. You can only give out X amount. And it's a one-for-one, a dollar-for-dollar credit. But we couldn't go past, at the time, $20 million. We've raised it since then to $30 million. All right, I hope I'm getting too much in the weeds here, but the reality we've got is that we do have some school choice. We've also been able to, in the last few years, enhance the ability for Alabamians to see charter schools. Charter schools are actually public schools. Charter schools are actually public, just with a different charter. They've got kind of, you know, like rules and nuances and things about how they're going to focus on their and they have to, by the way, they have to maintain their standards or they can lose their charter and revert back to standard schooling. Charter schools, though, even though they're technically public, they draw the ire of the teachers union nonetheless because they're just not part of the mainstream out there doing their own thing. Well, charter schools and the Accountability Act, that's what we've got. Meanwhile, around the nation, you've got amazing things happening. Arizona is now the gold standard. Arizona is leading the way. And you know that happened, by the way, before Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs got in. But nonetheless, we've got the gold standard in Arizona. But like six states this year alone have now passed major legislation to provide school choice. So here's the philosophical underpinnings for this. And this is, in my mind, how you frame it. If you believe that the best person to make a decision about what is good for your child is a school system, then you will never support school choice. But if you believe philosophically that the best person to make the decision about what is best for your child is you as the parent or guardian, then you are automatically in favor of school choice because you know that sometimes you have to make a choice away from what the public school system is providing. Here's the next piece. If you believe for a second that the taxes that we pay into the state through a variety of sources, if the taxes that we pay into the state for education are there to support the system, then you will never support school choice. But if you believe that those taxes are paid into the system to support the education of a child, then you are automatically more in favor of school choice because you recognize the dollars are for the kid. They're not for the system. They're for the kid. That's what I believe. I believe that parents and guardians should have the ultimate say in what is best for their child, and I believe that the taxes we pay in are not to support the bureaucratic system of education in the state, which is failing on a regular basis. I believe it's for the kid. It's for the education of a child. Okay, that being said, we've reached a new level. We're starting to see some things happening. The supermajority in the Alabama legislature has been woefully inadequate. Like, they've not even allowed some bills to even get a hearing. It's been awful to watch. By the way, 40% of Republicans in the Alabama legislature now take money from the teachers union for their campaigns. That used to be antithetical to common sense, much less good politics. And now we got so many of them that just forgotten the days of the fight, and they're taking money from the teachers union. Anyway, major legislation that has come up about school choice, which is being passed in other states, has not even been allowed to see the light of day in Alabama. But what they're seeing now is it's become a real issue. COVID has changed some people's perspectives. COVID has woken people up. Parents are now like, wait, what just happened? And then how many times have we seen the whole thing about parents going to speak to school boards and, you know, the foul stuff being found in the school libraries or the failing school status and why am I still stuck here and what? They have choice over there, but I don't have it here. And what's happening is parents are waking up. They are. And when the parents wake up, the legislators have no choice but to listen. And when the legislators begin to listen, they also recognize, you know what? Oh, man, politically speaking, this thing polls great. So for those who just follow the polls and stick their finger in the wind to say which way the wind blows, this is good for them. School choice polls great. And then on top of all that, you've got the fact that it's starting to get a little embarrassing for some who are in leadership right now. When you recognize that places like Arizona and Utah, Pennsylvania, Virginia are starting to see measurable school choice passed in their states, and we have a Republican supermajority that can't even get one out of committee? All right. We just recently heard Governor Kay Ivey, and I've got a piece here. I just pulled this one, believe it or not, off of the CatholicVote.org website. Alabama Republican Kay Ivey wants her state to become the most school choice friendly state in the nation. Thank you, Governor Ivey, for waking up to the issue. Joining the ranks of states passing legislation that give parents power to influence their children's education. And it goes on to say, though, it says, Ivey has not been very involved in legislative sessions recently, and it has not gone unnoticed. But in a most recent interview with our friend Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, he has a show, actually, on public radio or public TV, PBS, called Capital Journal. And on that Capital Journal, she said, he asked her about school choice, and she said, I want us to have lots of school choices, and we're working right now on a bill, an ESA bill, Education Savings Account bill, to present to the legislature in the next session. Wow. Caught everybody's attention. I will tell you this. Speaker of the House in Alabama, Nathaniel Ledbetter, who was in studio, 6 months ago, I guess. It's been a while. Alabama House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter said work is underway for state bills for school choice expansion, and that came out in yesterday's edition. Actually, it's today's edition of the Daily Mountain Eagle. He's from northeast Alabama, Jackson County, Fort Payne, Rainsville area, I believe. That'd be DeKalb. And the Daily Mountain Eagle is a local paper in the DeKalb area. So he said, apparently in an interview in the last couple of days, that he does believe that they are working right now on bills for school choice expansion. All right, we're going to break this down in more detail when we get back. I'll go ahead and take the break right now. When I come back, we're going to keep this discussion going. It's actually becoming an issue in the presidential campaigns. We'll talk about that. And then top of the hour, we'll conclude that topic with our friend, State Senator Duke Brubaker. His thoughts on school choice. He's got a child who had some special disability needs. And, you know, when you have special needs, sometimes you also need the opportunities to move around. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right. Hey, so I'm talking about school choice, and let me go ahead and give props. I have been critical, and I think I've earned the right to be critical. I mean, quite a few of the legislators actually are personal friends of mine, and I served down there for 8 years. I think I've earned the right to say what I need to say, but the truth is I will also call balls and strikes, and when I see something right, I'll give them that. They did do a little bit of something this year on school choice, a little bit. It's technically, it's a little embarrassing what they did in terms of its scope, but some is better than none, right? So I want to make sure that I point out that a couple things did happen this year. And AL.com even refers to them as tweaks. Okay. Don't ever try to claim substance, only to have the media say, and they made a few tweaks. That's where we are. Alabama lawmakers passed tweaks to the state school choice landscape during the 2023 session, but they turned down proposals for sweeping expansions. Yes, they did. There were two school choice bills that passed. One expanded the 10-year-old Alabama Accountability Act, the one I talked about a minute ago, and one did a remake of the 8-year-old Public Charter School Commission. So charter schools, by the way, charter schools, the way it works is, like I said, they have to apply for their charter, and the charter is awarded by the Public Charter School Commission. So there's a designated commission that reviews the applications, and there are some that get rejected. You know, they don't have a good enough financial plan. They don't have the facilities. They don't have a curriculum that meets the standards for the state, whatever. So they did something. Now how does, I mean, was that super beneficial? Probably not going to change many kids' lives that they redid the Public Charter School Commission. The other one they did do, though, I do appreciate, and that was with regards to the Alabama Accountability Act, the idea that kids are stuck in a failing school or in some capacity relegated to a situation they shouldn't have to be in, because it's a little bit bigger now than just failing schools. The idea that they're stuck there is also now opportunities are provided for kids who have physical disabilities. So the new law, the act that was passed, now allows students with disabilities, particularly those who have what's called an IEP, an individualized education program, to be eligible for tax credit scholarships to pay for tuition and fees. And students with IEPs can also use their scholarship proceeds to help pay for therapeutic services like speech and occupational therapy. So situation at hand, let's say your child goes to a school that is not, you know, not fully equipped with what they need. Or maybe you've got a unique circumstance and you recognize that another school down the road has somebody who's better qualified to administer your child's IEP, maybe in a different school system altogether, or maybe a private school. And you're thinking, I need what's best for my child because their physical disabilities do not limit their ability to be educated. It just means they might need a specialized plan. And so this scholarship's now available. And that's good. I'm glad. There's like 80,000 students in the state of Alabama that have IEPs because they're handicapped in some capacity. But it says there's about 2,800 that are using those tax credit scholarships right now. So you see, 2,800, by the way, I'll say this, 2,800 students use the Accountability Act. I believe that we have roughly 67,000 K through 12 students in the state of Alabama. I think that's right. I could be wrong. But I'll look back. I got the number here in one of my sources. But I believe the number is, you know, when you think about it, is 2,800 is kind of paltry. Now, that's 2,800 we didn't have before. We'll take it. But what we need is the opportunity for people to have what's known as an ESA, an education savings account. An education savings account is where if the tax dollars are paid into the system and you believe they're best served to follow the child where the child needs to go, then what you do is you say, okay, parents, if you want to apply for this, then just tell us, and then we will set that money aside in your child's name. And that money will then be available to you for wherever it is you decide they should go. A true ESA is almost like a carte blanche. It's a scholarship to, if you're sitting in Birmingham and you want to go to school in Huntsville, doesn't matter, as long as you can handle the commute, you tell them you're going to do it and they'll do it. That's an ESA. You're in maybe a failing public school in, say, Montgomery, of which there are quite a few, and you want your child to go to a private school down the road, and that's what it's for. It's limited. There's a capacity on it. And in Alabama's case, we had a bill that would have allowed up to $5,000 a year to be applied. And that can make a difference, folks. And if you had that available for everybody, I mean, we have a multi-billion dollar education budget. We're not going to crash the system. Not everybody's going to use it. But if you have 67,000 students and 17,000 decide they want to use it, it's still supposed to be there for them to do it. And it does not mean at all the schools will go away. What it means is the parents will have a choice. That's what matters. Now, the teachers union, they hate this idea. Why? Because it makes them have to be accountable. It makes them have to up their game. It makes them have to actually do something meaningful instead of just clamoring for another pay raise. All right, listen. We're going to come right back. My friend, former state senator Dick Brubaker, will be on the line with us. We'll keep this conversation going for a little bit longer. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.